Welcome to the After Reality TV podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Daniel Oler.
And it was a great week on the reality TV airwaves. The Bachelor, it's not slowing down. I'm really enjoying this season. The Challenge Bloodlines, we're down to the nitty gritty, and we're ready for the final. So we have a lot to talk about. I'm looking forward to it. Daniel, before we get started, let everybody know where they can find us online.
You can hit us up on Twitter at @AfterRealityPod or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
And this week, once again, we're joined by a good friend of the podcast, resident reality TV guru, and now most recently, Wall Street Journal front page guy, FantasyForReality.com's Matt Gray. Matt, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you guys?
Excellent. I mean, it's peak reality season. I'm a little sad that the Challenge is starting to wind down, but the real world's going to be back sometime here pretty soon.
Yep, and we've got a couple. I know Dan's not a huge Survivor guy, but that'll start up in a few weeks. And another amazing race season, and eventually the final season of Idol will kick into full swing. It is peak reality season.
I was for my daytime job, I was out at CBS last week, and we were talking about Amazing Race, which Dan's actually a bigger fan of Amazing Race than I am, and then I'm obviously a bigger Survivor fan. I didn't realize the concept that it's all like social media mavens from the big social media stars. I'm intrigued, so I may be in on Amazing Race this season.
Spencer, right? You should listen to the After Reality TV podcast. We covered that like in December.
Oh, well, maybe I zoned out. Then. It's not my show.
Maybe you should download our podcast and listen to it every now and then.
I hear those guys are great.
They have the inside information.
And I would be remiss if we got started without this, but a member of the Challenge family passed away today. Host of the Inferno and Inferno Part 2, Dave Mira, from an apparent suicide, but sad nonetheless. So let's just hope TJ stays safe.
Yes. Hope TJ stays safe, I agree.
Yeah. So TJ's been around a while now, since season 11, I believe. So he's solid 16, 17 seasons. I think we're around the 28 mark now. So
I don't want to derail this conversation, but TJ's hitting his prime right now. He could go for another 6 or 7 years. He's really become a host.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at some point in time, does Bananas become the co-host?
That's an interesting idea. I bet that does happen.
You can't play forever. When you can't play, maybe a coach, maybe a host.
You know he's not going to just go off into the sunset.
Yeah, well, and speaking of Bananas, we're going to get the Challenge after we talk to Bachelor, but I had to throw this one out there. I'm a big X Games guy. I'm watching X Games this weekend. No surprise that Johnny Bananas is there. His girlfriend's Hannah Teeter. But what did it for me was Hannah Teeter's competing, and they pan over to the crowd. There's Johnny Bananas, and they put a font up on the screen that says Johnny Bananas. They're like, oh, and there's Johnny Bananas. He's here for his girl. Like, everyone should know who Johnny Bananas is. Of course, we do, but the ESPN viewing public might not be real in on who Johnny Bananas is in the grand schema.
That's possible. Although maybe X Games Challenge Watcher. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and let's get into this. The Bachelor, I feel like this is a big week on The Bachelor, and right around this time is, in some years, is when the show kind of starts plateauing or maybe even turning downward. I think Ben Higgins is pretty good on television. Like, he certainly better than Prince Farming, right? And better than Juan Pablo. So I feel like he's the best Bachelor we've had in a while as far as, like, on-screen presence, and I'm liking the season. How are you guys so far on this thing?
I agree with you. I had a sense that Ben was going to be the best Bachelor they've had since Sean, and I think that's right. Usually by now, I've turned on the leading man or leading woman, and have just
except for Caitlin.
No, I turned on her. but
because of Nick Vial.
Yes, exactly. But Ben, I still like, so I think that's good. Good for him.
Dana, what's your take?
The this is what I was thinking, though. Like, do we really like Ben, or do we like the fact that they doubled down on the crazy this season? Like, they got, like, four extra crazy girls to come in. When they usually get two, they kind of got, like, six this year. And so the crazy's lasting longer than it usually does on the average season.
So who are your top crazies, Dan? Obviously, Olivia's on the list, but who else?
Yeah, Olivia. I mean, Lace was crazy. I mean, we forget about Lace, but she was crazy from night one. She's gone. I mean, she left already. Who left this week? She had a little. She had some crazy in her.
You got Jubilee in that category?
Yeah, Jubilee had a little. Yeah, I definitely put her in a little crazy.
She's the double whammy. We've never had. She's rarefied air, Dano. The African American that lasts a long time and is a little crazy. That's new to the show.
She's a triple threat.
Yeah, it's a triple threat.
I feel like there's extra crazy this season, so it's making this. I actually think Ben's kind of boring, and I feel like the low part of the show is his one-on-one dates.
Well,
possibly.
And he's been on some. I mean, recently his one-on-one dates have been with pretty nice women who aren't all that excited. So I would agree in the first of him, sort of slow. The Becca date was a little slow. The Amanda date. Now, I mean, I thought the Lauren H was fun in its concept, and I think she's really nice, but they don't seem to have the romantic chemistry.
I think he needs a little more JoJo one-on-one time. Not obviously, I'm a big JoJo fan, but she seems to be the one that's kind of more of the alpha and kind of the go-getter, and where the ones you just described, Amanda, Lauren. Are kind of more laid back. This week we saw the wake-up date. This has kind of become a thing now on The Bachelor. Second time in as many seasons, the date girl that's being chosen from the wake-up, coincidentally, two seasons in a row now, is the one that wakes up in full makeup.
Right. So either I guess there are two theories. One is they tip them off and they sort of know that they're going to be woken up. The other is Britt, just flat-out crazy, always goes to sleep with makeup. Amanda, having learned from the Britt experience, knew what to do.
Yeah, maybe she became a little friendly with her producer and got a little added insight.
And she did look good when she woke up, I will say.
Yeah, and woke up very politely as well. Oh, hi.
But if they knew, Lauren H. is really out of her mind. Because to wake up with your retainer in on that morning is disastrous.
I thought it was great, though, that Ben wakes up and is like, oh, I wear a retainer, too. Amanda is the one that obviously gets this date. Amanda seems like... the nicest girl you... The girls wake up that she has kids and she shouldn't be going on this date, which seems a little to be the ultimate in cattiness. Do we agree?
Obviously not. I mean, I think I do agree. Ultimately, Ben is not someone who seems situated in his life to want to raise two kids. But, I think Amanda seems like a really nice girl, and it's not, she's there. I would prefer, personally, I'd prefer her to Olivia, so I think it's a bit of an odd conclusion to draw. Certainly a stupid one to draw out loud.
Yeah, and Dano, a pretty ho-hum date, though, with those two hot air balloons over ancient Mexican City, which was cool. But all I really took away from this date was she says, a lot, like what I mean when I say it like?
I imagine so. I mean, she's just not used to being on TV, and I bet if we recorded something on air, we might catch ourselves saying like a lot, too. I think when we started this podcast, I probably said like a lot, too. So, I agree with the boring day part, though. You can do a hot air balloon anywhere. I kind of like when they do something special to that region, like go to the cave or find some Mayan ruin. And have candlelight dinner and Dixie Chicks play in the middle of the cave.
Were they not in Mexico last year when they went to that wrestling match? Because that was
the summer. That was on Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, right. So that was Mexico, right?
Yeah, oh, I would be all over going to the Luchadors. That would be fantastic. Go to the tequila distillery and then go to see the Luchadors. It's a day in heaven.
And then Bachelor in Paradise is in Mexico, so ABC must have some sort of promotion deal with the Mexican border Board of Tourism.
Not the Border Patrol, like you were going to say.
I wasn't the board. Just got back from Big Ben. We had to deal with a lot of Border Patrol.
But Amanda really opens up on this date. Not a lot there. But the group date is where it gets interesting. Group date, that was everybody who was not named Lauren H. or Amanda. So Emily, JoJo, Leah, Becca, Olivia, Jubilee, Jennifer, and Kayla. Bienvenidos estudiantes. As soon as they got there, before they even got to the school, I kind of had this idea they were going to learn Spanish. It's pretty awkward, and especially Jubilee in this setting. Matt, what did you take of her standoffishness here?
Well, I mean, she's been sort of more and more insecure all season, which has ultimately led to her downfall. I think she is not someone who was comfortable enough at any point to really go far. But I do, if you believe Ben was interested in her at all, she was going to blow it. But I'm pretty sure he wasn't, so he seized any opportunity he could to just cut ties without looking like a jerk. And the minute she sort of refused to grab his hand, I think he said, oh, here, now I can get rid of her and not look bad. So,
yeah, no beso, no mano. So Dano, the Spanish class ends up turning into cooking class. Recipes in Espanol, and the controversy is Olivia. If put yourself in Ben's shoes, are you not starting to get the picture then that Olivia is a little over-aggressive?
No, I think he sees her as someone who's fighting for his attention, and you always hear about the Bachelor at the end. They like these girls who put themselves forward and don't, you know, almost like he doesn't see what else is going on, so he might just see these little things, and it's nice that she always pops up. That's from Ben's perspective. Again, he's not seeing the 10 other things that she's doing and the way she's talking to the other girls.
And of course, you're referencing Ben the Spatchler, as he coined himself on the show, which was maybe one of the cornier moments in quite some time on the show.
Speaking of real quick on Jubilee, like, you think these girls all have seen at least one season of the show before, and like, it never works out well for the one girl who's like, I can't believe he's going on a date with another girl. He's my boy, you know. Like, it rubs me the wrong way. He just went on two dates and didn't, you know, I haven't seen him in 12 hours. That never works out for anybody.
And you can feel that way, right?
Just
don't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not a good strategy, and I'm a surprised. I mean, I'm kind of with you, Spencer. In real life, Olivia would come across as desperate and needy, and that would be a negative. Every single time that he stops talking and it's time to sort of like mingle, boom, Olivia isolates him. And at some point, I would think, oh my God, this girl is way too much.
Yeah, and I think if I was other girls, I would almost turn it into a competition of who can keep Olivia from being the first one to be able to talk to him every time he concludes a sentence.
Right.
So this cooking competition ends up kind of playing out. I want to ask you a question here. There was some trash talk about Emily. We'll get past that and her and the kids menu. But did you pick up on the fact that Ben wanted to walk Olivia over and sample the fresh cut mint while we've been hearing from the other girls that Olivia has really bad breath? You guys pick up on this?
No, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I saw that. I think one of the girls even mentioned it. But, I mean, they're definitely sort of putting that out there. To the extent she has really bad breath, though, there's no way she'd still be around. I mean, wouldn't you cut that instantly?
So she has bad breath, she has cankles and fat toes, and a mouth the size of a small city. and her personality is not necessarily attractive. This reeks of Ben doesn't want her there, and the producers are making her stay.
I'm hopeful. I'm also hopeful that he rescinds the rose, because that would be historic and awesome.
Yeah, well, so have we formulated a score for rose rescindment on Fantasy for Reality?
I haven't, but I think that seems like a cause for an emergency measure.
I think it might be time to add something to the rule book before Monday rolls around.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to figure out an appropriate point total for that.
Obviously, it's negative points, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I've long clung to this idea that the only negative on the site is something that just drives me personally nuts, is when they have the rose already and then they interrupt someone's time. That just drives me crazy. But yeah, getting your rose rescinded feels like it might be a negative.
Also, I'm losing a lot of points by having Olivia on my team every time she goes and interrupts someone when she already has a rose.
That's an Olivia special.
Oh, man. So, mentioned earlier, JoJo, one of my favorites. Dano drafted her number one in our fantasy draft. I'm sure she's popular among a lot of the fantasy teams on Fantasy for Reality. But JoJo really made this date with the way she made her tacos, or the way she talked about her taco and how her taco was delicious, and Ben knew her taco was delicious. And now she wants the chef to taste her taco. And this was all very humorous. Was it a clever edit? Or did they bait her into saying these things? Or was it just this natural conversation? Because there was a great monologue by one of the guests on Bachelor Live that referenced this. And if you haven't seen it, I actually took a clip of it. I can send it to you guys after the podcast. But JoJo's taco. I mean,
I gotta say she knows what she's doing. That's what I'm gonna go with this. She must have a sense of humor and some self-awareness, which is I appreciate her. I think if she loses, she's the front runner right now for Bachelorette.
I was telling someone that today, but then I reconsidered just a bit that maybe none of the girls on this season would be the next Bachelorette because so many of them are so young. I think it would be a stretch to have a 23, 24-year-old Bachelorette.
So maybe.
How old was Caitlin?
Caitlin, 28, I believe. So,
he's
the youngest of either variety we've ever had, and he's 26.
No, she's 30 right now.
Yeah, okay, so she's so old.
If they don't have a girl from this season, who do they go back to?
There's a rumor out there that they've allegedly put a feeler out to Rumor Willis, which I...
Oh, God.
Why would we want to watch Rumor Willis on the show? I don't know.
I think Claire. Bring Claire out of retirement.
Ashley Frazier?
Oh, my God. I'm just trying to process the Rumor Willis thing. Yeah. I can't imagine a meeting of the parents that would be more intimidating.
Here's my dad, Bruce Willis. Here's my mom, Demi Moore.
I mean, that would just
fun.
Explode if I were one of those guys.
And just for fun, I brought Ashton Kutcher along because he was kind of my dad for a little while.
Right, right, exactly.
So, I don't know. My ace in the hole would still be Leslie Murphy if we could ever find a way to bring her back from her Instagram job where she gets paid to travel around the country and take pictures in places, but she's a long shot from the Sean Lowe era, Washington, D.C. girl.
Yeah.
Let's keep this thing rolling. Nighttime portion of the date they went on turned into what I like to call the Jubilee Jamboree. She's super upset. She can't handle this group setting. She pouts about how she's being overshadowed, keeps pulling back. Certainly seems like she's on her way out, and she ends up being on her way out. Pressure too much for her, Dano?
Yeah, again, I think it's weird because it seems like she would be used to high-pressure situations based on her military service, but she just did not like hanging out with other girls. And I also, again, we kind of go through this every season. Like, I imagine she also feels alone a lot of times, being the only woman of color left. So she might feel like she's isolated at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Same take on it, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think she isolated herself. I mean, they talked a lot early on about how she wasn't making friends and she just didn't want to be around these girls, and they confronted her in an early episode. I mean, she to me, a lot of these girls, like if you're the Jennifer or the Leah, I mean, you kind of know. Right. So you're just sort of hanging on for the traveling and the fun with your friends. But Jubilee, that's probably not relevant to her.
Yeah.
She's not having a good time. Yeah. So maybe, you know, that hurts.
And Jubilee took home some big points this week for being asked to leave in the middle of an episode. So JoJo capitalized on Jubilee's unfortunate demise, and in my opinion, really started to rise the ranks, even though we've really only seen her on that one-on-one date, which we didn't do a show last week, so we didn't get to talk about this. They have a lot of helicopters on The Bachelor, right?
Yeah.
They may not land them on top of parking garages a lot, but they know how much wind a helicopter creates, and they know maybe that a flimsy table and a bottle of Dom Perignon and a couple of glasses aren't going to hold up to the substantial winds of a helicopter, right?
I guess they should have.
But it's good TV to see helicopter throw everything off into the sunset.
And then they hover behind a table and make out squat.
You don't think they couldn't like redo that shot? Like, oh no, let's get this fixed and redo the shot real quick. I bet they redo like 50% of the shots they take. So it probably looked good on TV, looked good on camera, and it worked.
Yeah, it's probably a little harder to redo a shot of a helicopter landing in the middle of the city, but you can land the helicopter next to a hot tub in the middle of the desert anytime you want to. But anyhow, felt like JoJo really made a move there. And out of nowhere, though, the date rose goes to Olivia, and mouths drop as wide as Olivia's mouth in response to it. How's this happen, Matt?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was outrageous. He's now given Olivia the first impression rose and two separate group date roses.
Not to mention casual touches on the knee for reassurance and things like that.
That's their connection. That's their special bond. These guys never pick up on it's an unbelievable thing. I mean, unless it's all orchestrated. They never seem to pick up on the fact that the one girl who they shouldn't give the group date rose to is the one they give it to. And he's done this to Olivia a few times. But this was met with, like, absolute silence. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, and Dana, we talked about... I talked about Ben. Obviously, Olivia thinks that she's getting these touches from him that are signs of reassurance. I've been picking up on that Ben... He's kind of touchy-feely and has some really awkward hand placements, particularly maybe when he's making out with all of the girls on the show. Have you noticed his kind of awkward mannerisms, Dano?
Yeah, I've noticed he makes out with every girl. Like, I feel like he doesn't even want to talk to these girls, he just wants to make out with them. He just, like, they pull them aside, he's like, they start talking, he's like, let's shut up, I just want to kiss you. But yeah, I mean... I'm sure, you know, you start making out, like, where do you put your hands? In real life, you do one thing with your hands. On TV, you got to have to kind of, you know, slow your roll a little bit. If you know what I mean, you just can't, you know. Kids are watching this.
I won't even ask you what you mean, but...
We're all adults here. We all have kids. Yeah. We all have kids.
Yeah, so let's move on. Lauren H. we'll move on to some more awkwardness with Lauren H. Lauren Kindergarten, fashion show walking in Mexico City. Going into this thing, Ben seems pretty skeptical of the relationship with her. But she opens up, and the common theme this year seems to be Ben seems to almost ask for a big group of girls who have been cheated on, and that seems to be the story with all of them.
Yep. Yeah, I noticed the same thing. This is the second time this episode that there was a long story about how they've been cheating on. And I don't know how...
They get the check sheet. It was like, hey, I like blondes. I like thin blondes. I like girls that have been cheated on.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm sure there's some psychology behind that. That's probably a good thing to look for. Somebody who'd be that, like, broken that they would just throw themselves at you.
Usually the main issue is daddy left too early. So it's nice to, like, have a little different issue to deal with every now and then.
I mean, Amanda just sounds like she got, you know, involved with some guy who was not ready for that serious a relationship.
Not ready to have two kids when he was 25 years old.
Right, and he just wanted to have another son. Lauren just probably is just too nice a person. That was sort of a sad story, and then Ben sort of acted like, oh, great, she told me about this cheating thing. Now I suddenly have romantic feelings for you. But... I still don't really buy into that.
Yeah. Harp Street Performer question. We saw this on this date with Lauren H. Does that count as a live music performance, having the harp strings there on the sidewalk? We've gotten back into a lot of live music performances this year, something we kind of fell away from last season.
I guess it counts. I like when they announce a band that you know.
Do you give points for live music being played on a date?
No, but it usually results in them dancing. So you do
get points. You do get points for that.
Yeah.
Like it.
So they are correlated that way.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it stands out of my mind. There was a number of years ago where they walk in at the end of the date, and there's some band, and it's a performance just for the two of them. And Harrison used to be like, you know, the band so-and-so. So there was one episode where the band Train was performing, but he just referred to them as the band Train. I don't know why this always made it.
Yeah, Dano and I used to, when we first started the podcast, which coming up on 3 years ago now, we used to play a game of, have you ever heard of this musical act that's playing on The Bachelor?
Right. 9 out of 10, no.
Right, or occasionally I would have heard of like a random one. The one that really sticks in my mind over the years is that they had Darius Rucker on, which was
that's one what of I was the gonna say.
Bigger acts that they've had.
That's huge.
Excuse me, Hootie, could I get your autograph? Yeah. Actually rode the tram in the Dallas airport with the full Blowfish band once. Nice guys.
Yeah, they seem like them.
Yeah. Cocktails and Roses time is when we get into kind of the shot that really shook things up, and that was the reference to one of Dan's favorite reality shows when Amanda was called Teen Mom.
Right.
Dan, you were all over this, weren't you?
Cross promotion, yeah. I wish you would have clarified, like, what Teen Mom she reminded her of. Is she like a Farrah Abram?
She made the book out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's clarify what Teen Mom you meant she was.
So,
the best part of that for me was just that she, I believe she was pretending, but Olivia's reaction to the statement, which was obviously just this like really low blow, was as if she had said nothing wrong. She's just kind of sitting there like, the show, Teen Mom. And Amanda was like, yeah, we know the show.
And I was not a teen mom.
You just totally insulted me, and you're just sitting here as if you did it. And then Olivia was like, oh, I'm trying to be better. And then I'm going to cry.
When good on Amanda, though. She takes it to what's his face? Ben. She speaks poorly of Olivia, and then a second person goes to Ben. Who was it?
I think Jennifer.
That's right. And I think Jennifer actually made
certainly the twin. Definitely Emily.
Yes.
Haley. Emily's at home. Or is Emily there?
I think Emily's there.
Ben doesn't know the difference. Why should I?
You definitely
but Matt, you should know. You're giving points to these girls.
Right. Now hopefully giving the points to the right one.
Well, didn't Emily call Haley during this episode?
Yeah, Emily's the one that's there. And this is what I wanted to talk about. I'm just picturing that in the confessional, the producer sitting there with Emily, she's inconsolable, and then she looks at her and just says, hey, would you like to call your sister? Here's my phone. And, I mean, how else does that happen? It's totally the producer's going to be like, hey, would it make you feel better to call Haley?
Right. Suddenly she has phone privileges that nobody else has.
Exactly. I just happen to have a phone here with your name on it, and we can call your sister.
She seemed to be fine, by the way. The sister had no... She was, like, totally unfazed by her living at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. The part of the cocktail party I love the best, other than the part that I didn't love the best, which was I hate a cliffhanger. I like my things tied up with a nice little bow and given to me at the end of the episode. But I love the high five, no blindside guarantee that Ben gave to JoJo.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly doesn't he blindside it? I've been thinking about, like...
Maybe that's an agreement that I'm going to tell you if I'm going to get rid of you beforehand.
Right, but isn't that conversation a blindside?
I don't know. maybe it's got a statute of limitations to the final four or something.
I guess, obviously that's the big blindside. It's like, girl thinks you might propose and you don't. But from this point on, I mean, pretty much any time he doesn't take her, she's going to be caught off guard, I think.
Yeah, and we've seen some kind of no blindsides in the past, even down to the final two. We saw Ali Fedotowsky, she knew she was going to pick Roberto. She went to Chris Lampton and was like, hey, we're not even going to go on a date. Right. It's still a blindside, but at least it's not, hey, you're getting ready to propose to me or you're expecting a rose and I'm saying, no, thanks, see you later.
No, the best is when the guy gets down on one knee and they're like, no.
And pulls them back up.
Yeah, that's the best.
Caitlin blew that last time.
Yeah.
Old Nick Viall did that, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He may have gotten down twice.
I think he almost went down twice.
Yeah.
Right. Pulled him back up this time. So, anyhow, to be continued. What do you guys? Are you guys okay with to be continued?
I mean, yeah. Go ahead, then.
No, yeah, I think. I mean, what season was it where they did the roast? Like, was it last season, The Bachelorette, where they did like three or four to be continues?
It was last season.
They were doing the roast seasons, the roast sessions at the beginning of the episode.
I don't know. It's as if they designed it just to screw with me. Because I never know when to who gets points and which episode do I award the points for, and it definitely complicates my life. That's sure.
Particularly if you get two roses in one night, right?
Right.
They probably read your article and was like, "Hey, Hollywood." They're like, "Remember who feeds the beast here?" They're
like. And speaking of your article, Matt, with your scoring update this week, you sent out some subjective odds to win The Bachelor. I wanted to kind of hit you up with kind of the remaining girls, where do we stand? I mean, we have 11 girls left, something like that. How are these girls stacking up in the Fantasy Four Reality odds to win sweepstakes?
All right, so these odds we just made up. I made up.
You can go to a sports book and get these.
No, I have no. They're not based on anything other than what I'm looking at. But Lauren B still seems like the odds-on favorite to win. I think if anyone else, I mean, I would take her against the field at this point. And
I'm sticking with JoJo. That's my girl picked at the beginning. Sticking with JoJo.
Yeah, all right. Well, she was second. So I had Lauren B. going off at 1-2, actually. And she now sees a life with him. So I think that's important.
A life. I like it.
That's how she phrased it. JoJo, I said, was 3-1. She's definitely really, I think he's attracted to her. She's cool. She seems to be funny. So I think that's, she's second in my book. Kayla, I have as third, at 5-1. I think she's basically, she didn't do much with him this week, but he likes her, and she also seems pretty mellow about the whole thing. The one time they showed her, they were making out. That's probably pretty good.
Yeah, that seems kind of a sleeper pick. She's definitely an under the radar woman at this point in time.
Yeah, a little bit, but like you know, if you Sean and Catherine weren't really hitting it off early on either, and then she pulled it out.
It's the old producer beating switch.
Tied four at 8-1. They both seem to get along well with him, but have like what I think are fatal flaws. Becca, the virginity thing. Amanda, the children thing. You know, it'd be a special guy who would want to either of those two when you've got these other women who you like.
And anybody else in the mix after that?
Well, I don't think these other people can win, no. The rest of them I don't think can win.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, Jennifer and Leah, I'm surprised they're both still there.
Right.
Olivia's probably on the way out. I would think the remaining twins probably days are numbered as well. Right. So I'm kind of with you on your grouping that you have up at the top. I like JoJo to win, but we'll see what shakes out.
I don't even know who Jennifer is. Like I saw her like on some sort of date this week, and I was like, "Who is that blonde, that dark hair girl, just walking around in the background?"
Right.
She's one of two brunettes that are there.
Yeah, I thought she was like a waitress or something like that at the cocktail party. I didn't know what she was doing there.
Can I get another drink, please? Oh, wait, you're on the show.
I'm a little confused by where Leah is in this process, because every time I see her, I think she's really pretty, and she never talks to him. So, you know,
Chris Soules is down with Leah. Did you see Chris Soules' caucus map for Monday night on Bachelor Live, where he'd given JoJo 75% of the pie, and given Lauren B 20% of the pie, and given 5% to Leah just because he thinks she's hot. So
right. So I mean, that's why last week I think she's going to end up being the breakout star of The Bachelor in Paradise. And if Souls is on that, that's, you know, I guess he'll target her. But maybe she'll be the new Samantha, where there's some like, yeah, you know,
Souls. I hadn't thought of it until you just said it. Souls has to be on that show. This guy is not letting his candle burn out.
No.
He's on every week. Him, he's almost the new but single version of Sean and Catherine, who are seemingly at the beck and call of ABC
right all
the time. So.
Exactly. But Chris is a farmer. He works all day, every day. He gets up at dawn. Doesn't go to bed until the sun sets. His life is so much different than everybody's life.
So, and Matt, you had one more superlative that I wanted to touch on your list that you sent out this week, and that was women battling for the Chris N Award, the least known contestant to stick around. Remind me, Chris N?
So, I'm thinking it's Emily, but I'm losing track now of which season she's on.
Chris N's my guy, right? Chris N's my I like Mexican food guy?
Yes, that's the guy. He was a tall guy who literally said nothing and just kept sticking around. He was there, just kept accepting a rose. I think the only thing he ever said every week was yes to the acceptance of the rose. And then at some point towards the end, he may have had a confessional interview.
It's Ali Fedotowsky's season.
Yes. Okay. Oh, it's that far back. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been doing this, throwing him into my articles whenever possible, because he really, to me, is the poster boy for what happens every year, the contestant who no one knows who they are, what Dan just said about Jennifer, who's just there way past their expiration date.
And for you, Matt, who I don't know if you ever make it to the tail end of the podcast, or for our listeners who wonder why the podcast is signed off as We Like Bears and Mexican Food, there's the Mexican food piece. Natalie Getz, same story.
Right.
I like bears. So, and Chris, again, our listeners know, but there may be someone that lives at my house with me that may have gone on a date with Chris Ann at one point in time.
No way.
So, amazing. Anyhow, quick look over at our scores on fantasyfootreality.com. My team is rolling and not looking back, over a 1,000-point lead over Dano at this point in time, and it's looking pretty solid with Amanda, Becca, Jennifer, both Laurens, and Olivia leading the way.
I'm biding my time with JoJo. I'm just waiting for JoJo to take charge.
Riding the JoJo and Kayla train to the end.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, before we leave, odds that Olivia goes home next week.
I'm going with, you mean immediately goes away or goes home at the rose ceremony?
She's not. She doesn't make the next week. Either one.
85% she goes home.
That's high.
I actually think it's lower than that. I'll go under. I'll say 40% that she goes home.
Wow. You're keeping her around.
Well, I hope to God she's gone, but I have this nagging fear that he's going to just keep her around.
And well, one, I guess the question is, do we have two rose ceremonies or we just have one? If we have two, I think she's got a good chance of going home. If they just have one, maybe that number comes down quite a bit. I'm thinking they have two, so that's where I'm coming from. I'm anticipating Leah and Jennifer probably being the ones that go home since Jubilee's already gone home, and then maybe Olivia, maybe the twin after that. So, anyhow, Matt, a pleasure as always. Again, shout out to everything you guys do over there, and congrats again on the media recognition. We got several more weeks of The Bachelor, so I'm sure we'll have you back, and it'd also be great to come back maybe once the challenge wraps up to do kind of a season wrap-up on that with you.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Always happy to come on. I love discussing this stuff with you guys, so thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, so go check out Matt, fantasy4reality.com, at fantasy4reality on Twitter. And Matt, thanks again.
My pleasure. Speak to you guys soon.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Transitioning over to the challenge, one of our favorites, Bloodlines. It's been a really good season, in my opinion. Dana, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I mean, it's hard not to have good, even a bad season of the challenge is still a good season to me. But I think they're doing a good job of keeping fresh challenges. I think it's nice having these mix of new people in. The one thing, I think, the season started seemed promising with the nightlife and everything going on there, and again they seemed to cut back on that, and the hookups kind of fell off after a couple of people left off. So that's the only thing missing.
We got the nightlife headed back up a little bit this week. We saw that happening. We've moved to Berlin, which Jenna let us know that is indeed in Europe.
Yeah, she got right.
But then she asked if Germany was in Europe. I cannot believe this is the final four, Dano. So our final four, Kara, Anissa, Jenna, and Corey. So two from Real World Explosion, which is pretty new school. And then Anissa, who's super old school. And then Kara. I'm surprised how we got here, but it's an interesting plot to get here nonetheless. And
yeah, but you gotta remember, I mean, most of the cast was new school. I mean, Johnny Van Andes was a holdover, Nani, Camila and stuff like that. But other than that, it was a lot of new school, but a lot of old school got kicked off pretty early. When you don't have a CT in the cast, when you don't have like a DM, when you don't have, you know, there's a mix that just wasn't on the season.
We lost Leroy to his cousin.
Yeah, Andrew. Yeah.
Kahuta was gone pretty early.
But Kahuta doesn't really go that ever that far, right? Has he won? I don't think he's ever won.
He's never won, but he's usually hangs around just because everybody likes him.
Yeah.
But any this car hop challenge they did this week, this thing is all time. I mean, I feel like they took what they did last season or two seasons ago with the side-by-side flatbed trucks.
Yeah.
And while that might have been more exciting, I feel like this was probably more scary.
Yeah. I agree, but I think also, like, once you saw the first group do it, it felt like a lot of the scariness left, too.
Did you feel like when the first group did it and had got to the last car and had to get on the black Mercedes SUV that their car was further away from the SUV than the other three groups when they went?
Yeah, because it felt like that's where they got held up, was that part of the challenge, was like, oh, I don't think I can make this jump.
Yeah, to me, looking at it on TV, I was like, are they supposed to be able to jump and grab that tire and that's their only chance?
Yeah, I know. And Anissa did it like, she just like walked over. It was basically, she took a step and she was
exactly
on the bumper. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they course corrected maybe a bit unfairly to the first group of Kara and Jamie.
It was fun. One thing I was bummed out about in that challenge, DJ said something like, if you fall off, the fall is going to be pretty gnarly. And I wanted to see someone, like, were they going to do something different than you just getting, like, you know, hanging from the side? Or he made it sound like if you fell off, it was going to suck. I don't know.
I mean, there's an apparatus moving with them the whole way, right? So yeah. They're suspended really in the air.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
So it's not like they're going to get run over by one of the cars.
That would have been awesome.
Oh, so Corey and Mitch, they crushed this thing. This is only, what, 2-3 challenges in a row for them? They've really shined? And
well, they didn't really shine the last challenge. They kind of
They pulled it out.
They pulled it out, yeah.
Anissa and Rihanna, they are last. I did a little research today. I was curious about Rihanna. We don't know a whole lot about her. And it turns out Anissa doesn't really know a whole lot about her either. How old do you think Rihanna is? I feel like it could go young or it could go really old for her.
I would say like 29.
She's only 25.
Wow.
Anissa, who's been on our TV screen since the early aughts.
33.
35 years old. All
right.
I mean, she's the veteran. I mean, she was on 2 or 3 seasons before Bananas was on the challenge. Or on Real World, I should say. Back in the Chicago day with Tanya Cooley.
I think you forget. It just seems like a long time. You know, when you meet someone when they're like 21 and then they're on your screen every year for the next 13 years, it makes them seem probably older than they really are.
Right. I mean, like Banana's only 33 years old. We've had this guy in our life for a long time.
Yeah.
So Mitch and Corey, it's a no doubter and they did the right thing for them. I mean, I'm team Kara most of the time, but right thing for them. They put Kara and Jamie into the final pit. But before we go to the final pit, we go to the club, which turns into the discotheque or whatever they call it in Berlin. Boring at the club, fireworks on the way home. Anissa and Kara are really going at it. And I was disappointed after I watched the after show, which I know you watch it sometimes. You watch it this week?
No, I haven't seen it this week.
They got home after that fight, and Corey and Anissa got back together again, shall we say.
Oh, that's sweet.
How did that not make the air?
I don't know. I guess that fight took up most of the show, so especially the back half.
They were hooked up in a bunk bed together again, which I don't know how they got a bunk bed in a hotel room.
I noticed that, though, when they did the, like, you know, run into the hotel room, there were bunk beds in that hotel room. My wife actually mentioned it. She's like, yeah, it's a nice hotel room, but why do they have bunk beds in it?
Yeah, it was like a real world house almost looking hotel room.
Yeah.
And then there's bunk beds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this whole fight that Anissa and Kara had, it was really all about Kara's coming and going accent, which just...
I think it was just mind games. I think Anissa was trying to get into her head, psych her out a little bit. She, you know, there was no real fight to have, and she was just trying to get inside of her head.
Yeah. And the pit was mine, not yours, which we've seen in the past, something similar to Paul Russell.
Yeah.
Another spot here where co-ed teams seem to not make sense because Kara's team, they didn't have a choice who went in because they're going against all female teams. So Kara had to go in, which Kara's strong, but she's also small. Jamie, not an option. Do you think MTV considers this, Buna Murray considers this going forward as far as having single sex versus co-ed teams?
I think it worked out. I mean, I wouldn't say. I mean, I almost wonder if there was an option, and I still think – no, I mean, not – you can't have a boy go against a girl. And I think it was a good matchup. And no, I don't think anyone's thinking too much about it. Right. I think though, if they do Bloodlines too, I don't see a difference.
Yeah. What was the result with Kara winning both first two rounds? What you anticipated?
No, I thought Anissa would put up more of a fight. I thought Anissa would put more of a fight. I think, especially because she's so much bigger. So if you just got in the right position, you could use your body weight to wear down Kara Maria, I felt.
And Anissa had played this game before in duel and won.
Yeah, so it's funny. And Anissa's, you know, she's got a big backside. I felt she could, like, block out Kara Maria in some sense, too.
Well, it's like a hip toss kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it did surprise me that I actually thought Anissa was going to win that one.
Yeah. But Anissa, unlike Kara, does not have a Twitter account dedicated to her arms and the muscles in them. So I was very happy that Kara and Jamie won because I thought it was going to be a disappointing final if it was Corey and Mitch versus Anissa and Rihanna and Jenna and Brianna. I feel like with Kara and Jamie being there versus Mitch and Corey makes it more of a battle.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been, it sucked. But, you know, I do like how the fact they are changing, like last week's episode where they had the girls carry 40-pound bags versus the guys carrying like 75-pound bags. So I think they are taking, so I think if the final challenge came down to something like that, they would make the proper adjustments.
Right.
Of not two all girl groups and versus a guy two versus an all guy group, I think they would have to figure something out.
Yeah, and you, earlier you pointed out Jamie, strong competitor, probably the strongest of the newbies, but Kara's the strongest girl that was on this season. I mean,
yeah.
With no Ev, no Emily Schramm, no Laurel that. Kara was that person.
Kara's now the alpha female of the challenge.
Yeah. I don't know if she's on this coming season. I know Sarah Rice comes back, but she's kind of, I don't know if she's the physical alpha, but she's definitely the alpha in general as far as like respect.
Yeah.
So I want to give you props on this, Dano. I think in some recent conversations we've talked about a revamp of the challenge, maybe is road rules, and you talked about doing something like in the heart of the city, and that's what we're gonna see now, the final in the heart of a major city. So you kind of called this one. So props,
yeah. I mean, I wanted like a whole season, so you know, being in New York or something like that. But hey, we'll take what we can get. I think it'd be cool to use like landmarks and whatever you can do to make it. But I think it'll be cool.
Hanging off the Eiffel?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're in Berlin. Right, where are they going for the final?
Oh, yeah, hanging off the Berlin Wall.
It's like 10 feet tall.
So, anyhow, I've been loving this season. I'm really sad that it's almost over.
Do you think, because we know they're either done filming or they already filmed the next season. Do you think we get another season in 2016?
Oh, for sure. I think we probably get it this summer, this late spring. I think we'll get the challenge then, maybe right after the Real World, since last year we had them running simultaneously.
I'm thinking if we get it fall time. I think they'll do. I think it'll be fall.
I hope we don't have to wait that long because I know it. I know it's done filming.
Yeah.
Because, well, if for no other reason, I saw Johnny Bananas on TV this weekend.
Yeah. And, he could have been the first one out. Could have been the first one out.
Yeah. And I'm surprised we haven't seen previews for the Real World during the challenge.
I wonder if they're going to wait till like the final challenge. You know. Because we're less than a month away from Real World, right? I haven't seen any commercials for Real World.
There's an established date, though, right?
Yeah, it's October, March 17th or March 15th, something like that.
Oh, right in the middle of South By.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to look forward to that. We'll have that. You'll have Amazing Race. I'll have Survivor. Won't be long before Bachelorette's back on. It'll be interesting to see who that comes with. So, I had something else I wanted to mention, and I'm drawing a blank on it, so I'm probably just going to save it up for next week. Challenge Bloodlines, Bachelor, anything you got in closing, Dana? We'll skip news this week.
No, we had our own little reality drama in Austin this week when Rob Kardashian drove from.
That's right.
From his house and where they in California, drove cross country to Austin to pick up his girlfriend.
Black, what's her name? Black China?
Black China, yeah.
Yeah. Bring the drama to the Austin airport. A buddy of mine I mentioned before on the podcast, I was bummed I didn't get the invite or the intro, but Cook from Las Vegas, season 2 of Las Vegas on the Real World, was in town this weekend hanging out, actually staying at my buddy's house.
Good times.
So next time we get one of those, we'll try to get him on the podcast or at least get him to give us a few words for the podcast.
Cool.
Before we jet, Dano, hit everybody with where they can find us online.
You can hit us on Twitter at AfterRealityPod or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
Your Twitter name is?
At Daniel Oehler, Oehler.
Mine is at SpencerK11. And as we told you before, Chris N., Natalie Getz, and Dan and Spencer, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV Podcast.